Gentas presents What Happened That Night by Susanna Beard. Read by Emma Gregory. To my sons, Greg and Charlie. To my late parents, Bill and Marion Beard, who I know would have been proud. Chapter 1. She remembered the first part of the evening well enough. The after-work crowd spilling onto the pavement outside the pub, the hum of voices, the smell of beer. They had sat by the open door where it was cool. They were joined by the usual gang in ones and twos, and by the time Fergus turned up, there were no seats left. "Move up," he said, squeezing onto the end of the bench next to Lisa. "Give a man some space." As he sat down, she caught a whiff of whiskey, mingled with a strange, earthy smell she couldn't identify. Sweat glistened on his forehead. "How's it going then, Lisa?" he said.
"Yeah, good, thanks,"
she said, shifting her leg away from his, trying not to be too obvious. There were now four of them on a bench meant for two, and she was hemmed in, uncomfortable and hot. She was glad when someone found him a chair. She and Ali left soon after to walk the short distance to the flat. There were plenty of people around, the corner shop still open, catering for late workers on their way home. Ali stopped for some milk. As Lisa waited outside, someone tapped her on the shoulder, the old trick, tapping on one shoulder but standing at the other so you turned the wrong way. It was Fergus.
"Going home already?" she said.
He grinned at her. "Yeah, not much happening. I'm moving on. What are you doing?"
"Waiting for Ali to get some milk."
He was standing a little too close. She could feel his breath on her hair, smell the alcohol. There were tiny trails of red in the whites of his eyes. He swayed slightly as he spoke.
"Having your bedtime Ovaltine tonight, then?"
"Very funny. I actually hate the stuff."
Ali reappeared with the milk. They said their goodbyes and headed home. For a while, that was all she remembered. By the time the rest came back, it was too late to tell the police. The verdict had been handed down, and the sentence passed. Her mum told her when she woke from the surgery. She was dazed for hours after regaining consciousness, drifting in and out of sleep, the sting in her neck interrupting dark dreams. She was dimly aware of a constant presence by her bedside, holding her hand. Eventually, she felt awake enough to speak. Her mum was stroking her forehead and smiled a wobbly, crooked smile when she saw she was awake.
"Mum, what happened?"
Her throat felt like sandpaper, her voice deep and unfamiliar.
"Oh, my darling, oh, how are you feeling?"
Her mum's face was pinched with anxiety, her eyes puffy and red-rimmed. There was a nurse standing by the bed, fixing a line into a dangling plastic bag.
"I don't know. Pretty groggy. Why am I in hospital?"
"Don't try to talk now, darling. Just rest."
"But, Mum..."
When she moved her hand, there was a tube attached, a piece of white sticking plaster pulled at the skin. With her free hand, she explored the unfamiliar dressing on her throat, feeling the ache beneath her fingers.
"What happened? I can't remember."
"Shh, darling. Rest now. We'll talk later."
As she looked around her, a dark mist fell, and the shadows in the corners of the room grew together. There was something urgent, something important she wanted to ask, and she squeezed her eyes shut, trying to clear the fog. But her eyelids felt glued together, and she drifted, falling softly into the blackness. When she woke the next time, her head was clearer. The nurse poured some water and offered her a plastic cup, a yellow straw bobbing. She lifted her chin to drink, wincing at the pain in her neck. Her mum was still there by the bed, holding her hand as if she'd never let it go.
"Mum, please tell me. What happened? Why am I here?"
Her mum glanced up at the nurse, who gave a small nod, a black curl escaping the cap pinned into her hair.
"You were attacked, both of you, at the flat.